AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
They thought they'd get away with it until now. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Luigi Mangione, 26-year-old University of Pennsylvania student, graduate that has been now charged in the murder of CEO Brian Thompson, December 4th of 24, facing those first and second-degree murder charges. He's out there, and I got to say, they did the perp walk with him the other day when they extradited him to New York. I got a question for you about that, Jennifer. That was one of the most grandiose perp walks I've ever seen. It was like something out of a Marvel movie. Why? I mean, it gave him one hell of an attention. Like, I didn't know what the story was. I just saw the picture. I'm like, is this real? And like, oh my God, it's the Luigi Mangione over here with, you know, an army. Thoughts on that? I mean, it just seemed like a lot.
It did seem like a lot. And I understand that. And it certainly is feeding the frenzy of, you know, unfair treatments.
Yeah.
He's really a revolutionary. He's a martyr. He's being treated like that. But at the end of the day, this case was getting so much attention. Everyone knew he was leaving that Pennsylvania courtroom. And anybody who really wanted to somehow stage some sort of assault would have the timing down. And so there's no way people have said, well, why didn't they just drive him? I can't even express how difficult that is to guard somebody on the road, multiple vehicles, air coverage, that sort of distance. It would have been a Cecil B. DeMille for over 200 miles instead of the Cecil B. DeMille we saw, which was a much shorter time span. So that was out. That would never be considered. It was so smart of them to use, you know, a NYPD copter and how they actually played it out. This is why they had to do it, Tony. Mm-hmm. Too many people, A, would want to kill Luigi Mangione to be famous themselves. So many people might want to actually sort of stage some sort of takeover and possibly try to take him and, you know, free him. Obviously, it wouldn't have worked in this situation. And then many others hate Luigi Mangione. Not very many, but there are some that are very angry. I mean, it's really on both sides. So if they don't have this huge tactical presence. I mean, this presence said, unless you have an army, you better not come after him. That's what that said. That was the message sent.
Yeah.
I think Personally, it was smart. If I were the special agent in charge of this case and it was my call, I would have said the same thing. I want full on tactical contingents. I don't want any chance that he's going to get sniped or that somebody's going to assault. I mean, nobody's going to try to make that effort with what you saw there.
No, I mean, actually, my concern was more for the officers, quite honestly, thinking like if somebody's going to want to do something here, it's not going to be killing Luigi Mangione. Like, I think he could probably almost just walk around with bulletproof or without a bulletproof vest, because I think there's too many people that like him. He's one of the few that I think doesn't necessarily have a target on his back. Anybody who's holding him back, though, I think does. And I was more concerned for that level of all, like, that's a lot of officers if somebody's going to try and do something. Granted, they got the shields. They you know, they're fairly well prepared. But if somebody, I don't know, set something off or a bomb, I don't know. It just seemed like a lot. But with your explanation, it makes a lot more sense. My thing was, why give him the attention? Why give him the parade? But yeah, I hear you. This case, obviously, it's going to take some time to get into any sort of a trial situation. What sort of defense do you think Luigi Mangione is going to bring for this? It's pretty much one of those where it's like, yeah, we know it's you, and there's no question about it. You're fighting and you're almost bragging like I did this. So he's going to plead not guilty, I'm sure, but obviously you did it. No erasing that fact. Are we going to just solely go on them trying to argue this principle or his ideologies in court? And would the court even allow that?
Well, such a good question. I really think they are going to go for some sort of jury nullification. If right now, with what we know and the evidence being so ridiculously strong, I would literally probably waive my speedy trial. Now, remember, he's not only been charged in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. He's not only been charged in New York. He's been charged by the federal government now. Mm-hmm. So we have four federal government death penalty and a death penalty charge on the table now. So, and that will come first. The, you know, by law, by statute, the FBI, swooped in and really took over this case from New York, because obviously if he gets the death penalty, which I don't think there's any chance he'll get, or if he gets a life sentence, there's going to be no need to have a trial and everything in the New York case necessarily. Mm-hmm. They could still, and they may.
Yeah.
But depending on what happens, if I were him, Tony, I would want to take the stand. I would want to explain, why I did what I did, and pray for jury nullification. In other words, yeah, we know he did it, and yeah, we don't care. And, we saw it in OJ. It happened in OJ. Yeah. Those jurors have been interviewed, and they said, yeah, we know OJ did it, but we weren't going to convict him because of what happened with Rodney King. So that's what they're hoping for.
Yeah. I think they have, as of right now, a good chance if this trial were to take place tomorrow, but this trial will likely take place years from now. Do you think he's going to still have that sort of support and, and he's not Robin Hood, but I guess Robin Hood-like aura that the certain members of the public feel he has several years from now? Or is it just going to be another guy who killed somebody and that aura is going to fade away?
Well, that's why I would waive my speedy trial. Mm-hmm. I would put all the onus on the government right now. They have enough to prove their case, but just think how much more they're going to get if they get years to interview and to look at the digital footprint. If they have only a few months, it's going to be tough. And there's, if you take the stance that you're hoping for jury nullification and you're going to put this Ivy Leaguer who's well-spoken, who looks, like a movie star. Mm-hmm. I was just watching a movie and the guy on the screen looked almost exactly like Luigi Mangione. I don't know his name. I couldn't believe it. I stopped. I said, look to my husband. Oh my gosh, looks just like him.
Yeah.
He looks like he has movie star looks. I couldn't believe they allowed him to get a designer haircut, by the way, and trimmed up his eyebrows and shaved him all down. He looked very presentable. I don't know if you noticed, like they cut the bottom half and kept the top half long. I was like, wow. Okay. I don't know who the barber is, but he's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was kind of surprised by that. And that's a big thing in this case is the looks of the man. If this man, if he looked like Ted Kaczynski, but was still arguing the same ideologies, I don't think you'd have this many people, you know, supporting him.
I totally agree. Brought that point up with Crooks, you know, the young man who tried to kill Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And killed somebody. I mean, very, not to be rude, but he's just a very non-attractive kid.
Yeah,
you know?
He was an odd looking guy. Yeah.
Awkward and you know, face was breaking out. You know, the way he kept himself was not, you know, nice. And nobody's saying anything about that. Obviously, he's deceased himself. But I'm just saying, it's, you know, this he is a groundswell for sure that's occurring.
It's going to be fascinating to see where this goes and what else they unearth on the history of him. It feels like we learned a lot very quickly that really, you know, just paints the picture. This is who he is. This is the mission he went on, and he succeeded. What's your thoughts on there being an accomplice with this, though? Because just to know the fact that he walked out there, knew exactly where Brian Thompson was going to be on a busy New York City street, walking, you know, on the sidewalk, it really wasn't part of his normal routine either. So it wasn't like you're scoping this out every day, and then it's an obvious choice. How do you think he figured that part out? Do you think there was somebody on the inside that knew something?
Well, initially, that was certainly early on before the note came out. Now, I'm not going to call it a manifesto.
Yeah.
Ted Kaczynski had a 70-page manifesto to explain his ideology. This was literally a one-page note.
Yeah.
And it seemed sort of, in a way, a note to himself. It was very rambling. You know, just kind of his thoughts on, but he kind of explains that. He says how lucky he got, you know, that, you know, that he would procrastinated. It gave him longer to understand what was going on. He says he was completely fortuitous that Brian Thompson was going to be at this particular meeting. Remember, he was there 10 days in advance. So I do believe that he probably followed him from when he arrived and just patiently followed him, put him down at that hotel room, which was just across the street from where the conference was going to be, and patiently waited. He talks about his patience. And I think he waited him out. And even though law enforcement initially said, and I think this is why a lot of analysts and other people were confused, they said he was only there minutes before he pounced. But I don't know that they really had looked at the footage of the hotel and his movements from the hostel to the hotel, which, you know, they're going to be able to put that all together.
Yeah. And it's pretty easy in New York City to blend in with a crowd and not be noticed. Anytime you're there, you look around, you see hundreds of people in any direction. So if he's watching from a distance, whether it be in that hotel lobby or just outside waiting for him to come out, there could have been a lot of surveillance leading up to those couple seconds on that sidewalk by him directly.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I think at this point. I mean, he also makes it very clear. It was me. It was all me. I paid for this with my money. You know, he's very proud about all of this, right? Again, just telling the kind of person he is, right? His grandioseness, of course, because I think he thought he wasn't going to get caught.
Yeah.
I mean, I really believe he thought he might have more, you know, CEOs to line up. But he says about this, and this is the one key point I want to make. He says about this that the healthcare industry checked a lot of his boxes. And I think there are a lot of boxes. This is just my belief based on everything, that one of his boxes was getting back at his parents. We know that he was persona non grata toward his parents, toward his family. We know that they made their money in the healthcare industry. Wow, what a whammo this is to their whole legacy, to the empire they built, and just so shameful, right? And we know it was important to keep, you know, to be good people by what the grandmother said. Yeah. So I wondered if this was one of the boxes he checked. See, I did this on my own, in your face. Yeah. Look at what you did healthcare industry-wise.
Yeah.
Just again, my thoughts.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense because you start to evaluate the psychology, what makes him who he is. Obviously, quite a narcissist. We've kind of established that. But, you know, a 26-year-old, lots of young, dumb things going through a 26-year-old's mind. And at that age, a lot of it still is kind of like, you know, I want to get on my own. And if your family is this, you know, heaping large, you know, giant that has a hill for you to climb up that maybe you don't want to climb up. Yeah, going and doing something extreme to get a lot of attention on you. It's attention. And to a narcissist, attention is attention. It doesn't matter if it's something horrible. Especially if they feel justified in it, that they're doing something that makes them look like a hero. And this man did succeed in that. He has a lot of people thinking he's a hero when, you know, in reality, he is not.
Yeah, I agree. But I do also think he does need evaluated. And I say this because he did take a complete exit out of society for about 4 or 5 months. It's not as long as people think. You know, his back injury that happened, right? He always had a back issue, but in 2023, he had a surfing accident that left him in a ton of pain, but he got the surgery. After that, at least according to the Reddit account, he was fine. He could sit, he could stand. He said, wow, I'm pain free. He goes on a, you know, extravagant vacation in Hawaii, hiking and doing things. And then he takes off to Asia and to, you know, specifically to Thailand and to Japan. I mean, obviously the wealth of his parents, you know.
What a sheltered, horrible life he's leading without any opportunity. He's that poor, poor boy. He's so in pain. Yeah.
You know, it's traveling like, and all of this. But then there is a time for 5 months, you know, from July until the murder, around that time frame, right, that he does take an exit from everything. And what happened in Asia? You know, what psychedelics led to this complete disconnect? And then, you know, I think there is something to be said about that rambling note he said. I mean, this is an educated guy.
Yeah.
That's your manifesto? That's no manifesto. So I think there's a lot of things to really consider in this, and they're going to have to look at him and see if he did have a break or if, you know, this is just him. I'm leaning toward B, but it deserves a look.
I agree. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.